fighting for more than a week between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, and until yesterday, nothing from neighboring Egypt. The traditional regional player has now called for a ceasefire. Hamas has demanded reopened border crossings for workers. Rockets continue to fly from Gaza into Israel. Israel has reportedly resumed its military campaign, while U.S. officials say they are deeply engaged in trying to get a deal. To sort out the many voices and many players here in this first round of who knows what between Gaza and Israel, Shadi Hamid, fellow at the Brookings Institution and author of the new book, Temptations of Power, Islamists and Illiberal Democracy in a New Middle East, joins us. Shadi, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how much of a test is this of Egypt's clout in the region under this new regime of al-Sisi?
Sure. The proposed ceasefire agreement is actually the first major test of the Sisi regime on foreign policy. There's a lot at stake here, and a lot of people are looking to Egypt to help reach some kind of understanding or at least calm between the two sides, Israel and Hamas. But so far, Hamas seems pretty skeptical, and we've had Hamas figures reject the Egyptian ceasefire proposal. And this gets, I think, at a bigger issue that Egypt is not as credible with Hamas because the Sisi regime is seen to be quite anti-Islamist. It's obviously led a crackdown against the Muslim Brotherhood at home, and Hamas is the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood.
So Hamas is pretty skeptical, and rightly so, based on the recent history. Can Hamas go it alone here, though?
I think Hamas is under a lot of pressure now because the Israelis have accepted the ceasefire proposal. And if Hamas continues to say no, the Israelis will use that as a pretext to continue their ground offensive. And then we'll see more lives lost, certainly. But I think there, Israel will have some international legitimacy and cover to pursue its aims. And that puts Hamas really in a corner because they are going to be held responsible for the loss of life. And people will say, well, Hamas had a chance to accept the ceasefire proposal, but didn't. So this is not an enviable position for Hamas right now. And we're also in a context where they have very few allies in the region, really only Turkey and Qatar. So this is not a positive environment for them.
Indeed, looking broadly at the environment, it seems like there are incentives on both sides to violate this call for a ceasefire.
Yes, I mean, even if Hamas did theoretically accept the ceasefire proposal, you're still going to have far-right groups in Gaza, such as Islamic Jihad, which supports continuing the barrage of rockets on Israel. They'll use that as a way to say Hamas sold out, they are not continuing the resistance. So Hamas is under pressure from both sides, and that's why the domestic political scene in Gaza is so complex. And we also have to look at the fact that Hamas has its political leaders, but it also has the military wing, and the military wing has been more forceful in its rejection of the ceasefire terms.
Would you say there are plenty of people in Israel who would love to show that Egypt has no clout in the region in this new world?
Well, I think actually the Israeli government sees the new Sisi regime as an ally, so I don't think they want to undermine the Egyptians so much here. But certainly Hamas doesn't want to be seen as giving a victory to the Egyptian regime, and that's where the lack of trust and credibility between Egypt and Hamas is, I think, very problematic here, and you don't have an honest broker who can really push forward on this, and that's why I'm worried about Egypt's role here. But if we look at the Israeli side, you actually have those on the far right of Israel's political spectrum who are saying it is not the time to accept a ceasefire, that Israel should continue delivering a blow to Hamas and really punishing them as much as possible. So everyone is kind of torn between different pressures here.
Shadi Hamid is a fellow at the Brookings Institution, author of the new book, Temptations of Power, Islamists and Illiberal Democracy in a New Middle East. Shadi, thanks.
Thanks for having me.